There you go.
Magic.
Every time. That's what I've noticed, is that every time it is like magic.
Did podcasts always, were they always this good?
Like in the 1940s?
Yeah.
No. No, a lot of it was like The Shadow Knows. So a lot of it was that. Like, no, probably not. I don't know. Is this thing on? Yeah. Have we started?
Yeah, we did. We just did.
I wish I knew how to delete this, but I don't, so. All right. Let's go. Hello and welcome to episode 306 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
a very, very excited to be here, Adam.
I'm also excited. What is it, man?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not raining.
It finally stopped?
Yep.
That's good.
Yep.
Glad to hear.
So now... I'm jazzed.
It's funny how that works. But you were in, I mean, for a bulk of the rain again, you were in Southern California.
That's true, yeah. I only experienced the last week of it.
Yeah. And how was the weather in California?
Oh, perfect. It was 80 degrees, little bit of overcast. So
what is 80? I don't know what that means.
Let's say around 28 degrees Celsius, something like that was the average temperature, 27, 28, something like that.
That sounds higher than 80.
I think it's right around there, but
I think 25 is 80, roughly.
No, really?
Yeah, roughly.
Oh, I think it was a little bit warmer than 80 then. But then there's a little bit more humidity there than there is in Vancouver, so partly it feels a little bit warmer as a result of the humidity. But it was nice. It was very, very nice. Shorts and a T-shirt. Not too hot. Definitely nice enough to be out at the pool. All of the good things that you want for a vacation in end of October.
Yeah, see, it's gotten cold here.
Uh-oh.
Like, out of nowhere. Because
winter.
I've been racing. Well, yeah. It was one today, plus one. Which I know isn't like minus 12 or anything like that. Like, if you're listening in Winnipeg in July, right, when it's minus 8, you know, and you're like, wow, minus 8 and you still got mosquitoes. Well, how is that? How is that possible?
Yeah, it's weird.
But out of nowhere, we had very pleasant weather, and then out of nowhere, bam, came the almost zero. Which, that's when it happens. That's when you feel cold. Not when it's, you know, February and minus 10, because you're kind of used to it by then, but it's that right out of the gate. And here's the kicker. I've been racing trying to get a bunch of work done on the house, on the outside of the house, and so the last few days, my wife and I have been diligently painting the carport.
Okay.
Which sounds great. A few days, Alan, what you doing? But it needed to be sanded, the whole thing, and it's actually a pretty large structure, so it's a couple-day job, unfortunately.
Are you done?
Talking about it?
Yes.
Yeah. it would just about probably have to throw one more coat on it on parts of it, but other than that, yeah, pretty much done.
Okay.
However, I had to get up this morning at you know, when it was 1 degree out, and go and paint on a ladder, on an aluminum ladder in the shade.
So that was cool.
Yeah, it was so cool. This is how much of a hillbilly I am. It was so cold, and like, our whole front yard is skinned right now. We took all the everything's gone, because we're going to get that brand new as well. And so I took the fire. I have a little metal fire pit that we have. I went and lit a fire in my front yard so we could, in between brush strokes, go over and warm up our hands.
Gotcha.
You don't see that in downtown Vancouver.
No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Yeah. The good news is, the way it's shaping up, though, and I had never thought of this before, because I didn't like the paint job, and it was very, very dirty. Probably had never cleaned it or painted, you know, since they built the house. Now, I'm going to end up with an outdoor photo studio.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And a cool thing, too, with, like, the back wall is now going to be white. the very high raised ceiling is all going to be white, painted white inside, and so it's going to involve just bouncing flash up into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be pretty handy. Also, yeah. Park the car in there.
Sure.
Great
pictures of your car.
No, our car's kind of beat up. You should have painted the car.
I want to see a picture of your car in the photo studio once you're all done.
Yeah. Our car's not that pretty to look at.
It's okay. I'm still hoping.
In the springtime. In springtime, we'll probably make that happen.
Sure.
And if you are going to buy paint, here's my little tip for you. If you're going to buy outdoor paint,
okay,
don't buy the cheap stuff. You buy the good stuff, and you get a good brush and good outdoor paint. Get it on Amazon.
Oh, of course you do.
I didn't.
Okay.
But other stuff you can get. I did buy something on Amazon yesterday. If you do, what I'm saying is click through our site. It helps us out.
Right.
I did. Have you bought anything recently?
Not in the last 2 weeks. Not since Disneyland.
No. I bought another hard drive caddy for my... Because since I have two, I still have to, unfortunately, have to use two different laptops for my work.
Mm-hmm.
I have an older MacBook Pro, my 15-inch, which I use for certain things, one of them being video editing, long story. But I needed... I had an extra hard drive kicking around, just like a 1 gigabyte laptop drive that I couldn't use, and thought, okay, you know what? I'm just going to throw it in that laptop instead of the DVD drive, which is in there now. And that way I have a dual hard drives in there. So now both my MacBook Pros have dual hard drives, because the hard drive caddy is like $8.
Okay.
And so and by this point, I can do it with my eyes closed like a Marine. And for $8, I'm just went ahead and threw in the extra drive. It's awesome. If you're out there listening and you have a MacBook Pro, not the newer ones, but from 2012 on or and older, definitely look into get rid of your DVD drive. You don't need it. When's the last time you burned a DVD?
Long. Oh, maybe not. Maybe 6 months ago. Just sometimes I'll burn one for a car ride. I'll burn a movie or something on a DVD so that we can listen or watch it in the car, because we have a DVD player built into the car.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
So that's about it. Never to watch at home or anything.
Right. So I mean, and my clients, I usually use Dropbox or you know, worst case, deliver it on a stick, USB stick if they want. But I don't bother. I burn no DVDs, and so out it comes. So I don't even bother using it anymore. Point is, you'll be happy if you go with the extra hard drive. All right, that's what I bought.
Gotcha.
What else is going on, Adam? I got something you might be interested in.
I got something just as a thought for a Christmas present for any children out there who might be interested in photography in a very simple, fun way.
Okay.
Something totally different. I bought this at Costco about a week ago, now that Costco has all their Christmas toy section stuff out.
It's a 5-liter jar of pickles.
Yeah, I didn't buy it for my kids. My son's going to a friend's birthday, and he is interested in these certain things called stick bots, which are little characters that have little suction cups on them, and you can change their positions, and they stick to anything, and they stick to each other, and you can put them in change. But anyway, so it's become a popular toy here in North America in the last 6 months, I'd say. Mm-hmm. I saw at Costco they had a stick bot, what they called a Zanimation Studio, and it was $22 or something like that at Costco. And what it had is it had three of these stick bot characters, a little mini tripod for your phone, and a little green screen background, like seamless kind of background built into a kind of cardboard box that you pose the characters, and I think a free download for a green screen app so you could pose these characters and do funky backgrounds. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. So I bought it for my son's friend who is into stick bots, but I'd never seen anything like this. And then, of course, brought it home, and my kids are like, oh, we need one of those. We want to ask for that for Christmas. And I thought, cool, that's something that I actually wouldn't mind getting them for Christmas, just because I think it's a gateway into the world of green screen photography. And it's just, it seems like a fun little thing to play with.
And is this is photography, or can you do stop motion video?
I think you can do both. Mm-hmm. It says Zanimation Studio. I haven't looked at it entirely over, but for sure you can do the green screen photography, but I'm guessing you can do stop motion as well with it, just because you can change the angles and everything of these little characters.
That sounds awesome. That sounds like kind of the sort of stuff we did with video cameras when I was a kid, but wow, is it rudimentary when I was a kid. Like, it was really, not so much green screens, really.
Yeah,
it was really, and no computers. It was all in camera.
And so I don't know how good the app is that comes with it. Like, I guess you they give you a download code and you download the app. I haven't done any of this stuff because, again, bought it for my son's friend. But the cost of a really good green screen app, like I spoke about a few weeks ago, the Do Ink app, which works great, was like $3.99. So worst case scenario, if you don't love the app, it's not going to cost you very much to get a much better app that you can do the exact same thing with. And it does video and it does photos. So there you go. There's something for the kids for a Christmas. But I'm thinking I'm going to play with this little thing too. This looks fun. Yeah.
So we can expect to see some stop motion animation around New Year's from you?
Sure.
Is that our bro when?
We'll see. Something like that. I'm going to probably, when the kids are playing with their other toys, I'll be playing with the StickBot Zanimation Studio.
Well, I meant from you or your kids. I mean, I'm sure, you know.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what they're getting one for Christmas, is what you're telling
me. Unless Costco's sold out of them the next time I go there, they're getting one for sure.
I'm going to ruin it for them.
Okay.
Tell them, hey, guess what you're getting?
Yeah.
I'm not. Okay. Why would I be that kind
of
guy?
That's not nice.
No, I like your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. I take that back.
Okay. Awesome. No offense to it, anyway.
I heard Yong Nuo announced a new lens.
Okay. You got to keep me up to date, because I haven't been up to date on Yong Nuo's releases.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they knocked off yet another Canon lens.
Okay.
100mm f2.
Ooh.
But not the macro, because Canon makes a 100mm macro. I think it's a 100mm macro. I was confident until just this second that I've even shot with it. I don't own one, but yeah, they make a 100mm macro. But this isn't it. It's a 100mm f2 lens.
And this is a full-frame lens.
Correct. What's the price on that in U.S. dollars, do you think?
I'm going to say $250 US?
Less than 200.
Wow.
Coming in. I think it hasn't been listed on, I think you have to buy it through Hong Kong right now. It hasn't gone global, but they're talking about like $179 or something like that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I will buy this.
Really?
Well, for hockey, it's the perfect range.
Would more so, I mean, 80, you have the 85.
Yeah. It's just not, I always need a crop with the 85. It's not quite long enough for hockey. Plus, you know, just the ability to do the combo of the F2 at that 100 mils is, yeah. Because I was sort of loosely considering a 70 to 200, but the cost on the 2.8 is just so great that I can't imagine myself pulling the trigger on that versus basically no real concern about the cost. If it's that cheap, even if it gets to Canada at under $300,
right?
That to me is for sure. Like, I will buy it if the reviews say it's not terrible. The F2 for a hockey arena is perfect with the 100 mil reach. Would be perfect.
Well, there you go. See, that's funny you say that, because I mean, I have no need for one. I have the 85 and don't really need it, you know, like for hockey, obviously. And it's not macro. If it was macro, I'd be much more interested, but it doesn't really do anything for me. I would like to see a 135. The 135 F2, or whatever they make that at, would be. Then I'd be looking at buying one myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've also, there's rumors that they're going to release an actual 85 f1.8 as well.
Cool.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know there's some controversy there. Yongnuo is essentially just knocking them right off of canon. On the other hand, if you want to, you know, get a decent lens for almost no money, then you're in luck.
Yeah, and that's, I'm in the market for that.
Yeah, everybody is. Like I said, you 135 might be more along the lines of what you need for hockey, but maybe not. Well, maybe 100 is right where you need it.
Well, I still think that 135 would be better. I would still need to do a little bit of cropping mm-hmm. at 100, but it would be still much better than the 85. The 85 isn't long enough.
No.
Yeah. No. So I use it only because the 70-200 is an F4 that I've got. Yeah. And so you have to pick your poison there as far as, you know, I have to crank the ISO to at least 5,000 at F4 in order to get enough light because rinks are very dim. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I could get, you know, an F2, then I can probably shoot at an ISO of, 30, maybe 3,200.
Right.
So, and that just makes for a lot less noise. So, it's sort of a tough call either way. But at 135, I wouldn't need a crop. I wouldn't need a compromise at all as far as the ISO is concerned. And because the 6D does such good ISO control as it is, as far as noise is concerned, that would be perfect. So maybe mm-hmm. maybe I'll hold off if there are rumors of that coming.
I there's no rumors of a 135.
Oh, you just started the rumor.
They're based on what they're knocking off. I mean, Canon makes a 135.
Yeah.
And so what they've been doing is, I'm assuming it's on their roadmap. I think it's a fair assumption, and that would be because the 135 is just, for me, is such a great portrait lens. Like it is, like I like the 85, but I use the 70-200 a lot. Usually, and if you look back, it's usually in the 120-140 millimeter range.
Right.
Without looking, that's just how you end up framing it, and then later on you think, oh wow, so 135 is kind of perfect. I have an old FD 135, like for the old manual focus film cameras. Love that, not even the expensive one, that's the f3.5. they make an f2.8, I believe, for that FD, and those still are expensive.
Does anybody else, you know, as far as Sigma or Tamron or any of the other third party lens companies, does anyone else have a decently priced f2 135?
Oh, I don't think decently priced. I think they're pretty expensive. It's hard to say now because there's so many companies making lenses now that, I mean, and like decent lenses too, where you're not worried about getting a lousy knockoff. The technology is such that you don't mind going third party, you know? But I don't know. I'm not up to date on the 135. I think you're gonna drop a few dollars still. I think we have to wait for Yongnuo to steal the technology first.
Right.
So, in terms of shooting anything interesting, how did Disneyland go?
Went well. Went really well. How did we land?
Where did we land on the? What camera did you take?
We ended up with, as discussed, just the point and shoot, the RX 100 Mark I.
You did it. You freed yourself of the rest of it.
I did. Yep.
Oh, proud of you.
Yeah, my move was, all right, just not going to go back on my word. I said on the podcast that I wasn't going to take the SLR, and mm-hmm. I didn't. And fortunately, I was lucky enough to get some weather that was helpful, let's say the least. Some overcast weather where you didn't have to deal with all the harsh sun. Unfortunately, it is Disneyland, so you're going to have a tough go of it as far as getting photos without lots of distracting people in the background. So mm-hmm. that's the one big drawback with the point and shoot. You're not going to be able to completely just blur those people out. So you have to get a little creative and look for openings and shoot next to buildings and things where there isn't necessarily always someone walking behind you. But the overcast light made for nice, even shooting conditions. So yeah, I was really happy with how everything turned out, and it always sat in my pocket. If I went on a water ride, I just threw it into a Ziploc bag and it just stayed in my pocket and was great to just pull it out, hand it off to anybody that worked for Disney that holds a camera is happy to take your photos. So I have never been in more photos as far as a vacation goes, because mm-hmm. I was handing it off to anybody. So that part was really nice. And yeah, we'll post, I guess, a bunch of the photos and from different days and different things we did, but pretty much got everything I needed to get from this kind of vacation. Like, it tells the story nicely, and the photos are much better than I would have anticipated, just because I was fortunate in the lighting situations.
And how did the wife take it?
She loved it. She loved it. Yep. And yeah, no, that part, she just thought it was great because she never had to assist in any way. And mm-hmm. she could easily turn around and take a picture of me or the kids, or me and the kids, or I could hand the camera to the kids and they could take one of me and the wife. Like that part, she was thrilled. And it was never a situation where, oh, are you going to bring the camera again today? Like, no, mm-hmm. it really was out of the way. So that part was great. And then just slide back into your pocket. And in Disneyland, stuff's always popping up. Like, oh, there's a character. Run over there and, you know, get a picture with the character. It's just, boom, out of your pocket. It's easy to get what you need. And because it's a zoom lens, sometimes, I mean, if I was walking around at Disneyland, I'd have the 50 mil. But sometimes amongst all the people and where you're, sometimes even the 50 mil's too tight. Right. There's situations where that's too tight and you want a different, or maybe it's not tight enough and you want to zoom in and get something that's a little closer. And then you have to do a lot of cropping and post. So the fact that this is a zoom lens going 20, I want to say it's something like 22 or 28 mils to 100. That's a really versatile lens. That's like, you know, the F4, the Canon 24-105, but just having that in your front pocket.
Yeah.
So, again, you are going to lose a little something, but what you're giving up isn't, I think, enough for what you're getting in the versatility and the pocket and all of the rest of the pros.
What did your chiropractor say?
He was happy. Well, or unhappy, because he didn't need to treat me afterwards. So
that's the part. I mean, I still, you know, head-to-head, I love the DSLR pictures better. No question.
Oh, of course they
but
are.
Yeah. In terms of enjoying your vacation and being sort of present, like that's always the thing that yeah, you kind of miss out when you're the staff photographer on the family events, is that you're not necessarily present in enjoying what's happening.
Right.
And I kind of miss that, you know, and I'm pretty good about it in that I've noticed recently that I've taken way fewer photos than I have like a year ago at this time, you know, mm-hmm. and even a year ago I had scaled back from the year before and all that, but lately I was like, you know, have I taken any pictures this week? Like that happens, because you know, we're out enjoying stuff, and then I'll go through a phase where I shoot every single day for a week. So it happens like that. But just the idea that you could have that much variety, like that many options in your front pocket.
Well, and I'll give you an example. There's a big ride there, the Cars ride. It's probably the most popular ride at Disneyland right now. It's at the Disneyland California Park, and it's all themed on the Cars movie. And so you go into a full-size car. It's like six people in the car, and it takes you around the Radiator Springs, and then there's a big race at the end. And it's, I don't know, you could probably find it online how fast the cars are going, but they're going fast when they do the race part, right? Mm-hmm. And so we were doing this trick where you go in the single rider line because it was way, way shorter. And so, you know, they'll put Jack in one car, sometimes, you know, Lisa or I in the back, or sometimes he'll be in the car in front of us and we'll be behind. But so what we did is we went in the single rider line, and Jack ends up being, when you get to the race, it's, you know, two different cars going head to head at the end. So Jack happened to be in the car directly across from me. So we're racing at the end. So you line up at the starting line and then the car takes off. Well, I saw, because I didn't know, you never can figure out in your head when you go in when who you're going to be beside necessarily. Right. So anyway, so we're side by side, and I see this, and the camera's in my front pocket, and then you basically have about a 2-second window before, you know, the flag drops and the car takes off. So it takes off. I pull this little camera out of my pocket, and because he's in the car maybe 6 feet across from me, I've got another fellow beside me, a random stranger. I pull the camera out. I lean forward and I shoot a picture of Jack just with whatever the camera's dialed into, because there's no time in figuring out anything. And I actually got a half decent photo. Now there's a ton of blur in the background behind because the car's going fast, right? Mm-hmm. But here's a situation where I love the moment because he's so excited that he's going head to head with me. And it's one of those things that kind of image is an impossibility. It's a perfect example of I would never even attempt it with the other cameras. Too much bulk. I don't want to be in a way. I don't want to be a nuisance to the guy beside me. And I literally popped this thing out, held it out with my arm and took a photo and managed to capture a really cool moment that we'll look back on. And it's a fun memory. Obviously not a perfect photo. I do have a stranger face in the foreground and sort of Jack in behind, but he's in focus and it tells the story. And I love it for the fact that you can get things that you otherwise would not even attempt. Let's say it that way.
Money well spent.
Money well spent. I will always have one of these. Now going forward, you know, eventually when this thing kicks the can, I will definitely buy a upgraded version of one of these.
RX-7.
Yeah, whatever it will be. I'll buy the RX-4 when there's an RX-8. Like that's kind of my move. It's like the used car thing. It's like, yeah, I'll buy the lesser version.
Nice. I'm gonna keep my eyes peeled for something like this. This might be something that we end up using. Maybe my wife would like it.
Oh yeah, like you say, wife, kids, anybody. And it's fun, it's easy to use, image quality is very good. Again, the fact that you can shoot in RAW with full manual controls, that part is awesome.
Great. Now I just wanted to double back on what I said. Hey, I'm, you know, you did it, I'm proud of you. I say that as if I wouldn't have wussed out and brought my DSLR, because I probably would have.
No, really?
I don't want to give you the wrong impression. I don't want to give you the, okay, yeah, good for you, Adam. You did it. You did what I... You know, I might have gone the same with you, but there's a good chance I might have brought the DSLR as a backup, too. So I don't want to give the wrong impression, you know, that I'm somehow the benchmark in this scenario.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy with my decision. And if I compare it to a previous Disney trip, there's no real fall off here. So that was what I was worried about. I was worried about, okay, now my wife's been bugging me, you know, for the past few days about, can I post Disneyland photos? And I hadn't gone through them all, but I gave them to her last night. And I selected whatever. I have quite a few, maybe 15 photos to post, something like that, maybe even 20. And I looked at them and thought, yeah, no, I don't think that the average person, especially the non-photographers, are going to be able to tell the difference.
Right.
You know, I mean, certainly the photographers in the know, and you're not going to get the real bokeh, deep blur backgrounds. And I think there was one year where I had off-camera flash. Well, I'm sure there was a year where I had off-camera flash at Disneyland. So, you know, there's lighting things, like the couple of flash photos are bang on, you know, small flash pop in your face.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that I think that the image quality and the moments are all there, and I don't think people will you know, think that these photos are any less than the last time we went to Disneyland.
I mean, just on that note, I mean, we sort of made the college try at getting Halloween going last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever this airs, because Halloween's not really a thing here. I mean, it is and it isn't. Did I post a Halloween picture? I don't think I did. I don't think we talked about that.
No, I don't think you did.
I took a I'll post the Halloween family self-portrait. Maybe I won't. The four of us. We'll see. You have to be on pins and needles wondering if I'm going to post that or not. But when we went out trick-or-treating with a bunch of the kids' friends in the, you know, in the neighborhood, it was dark, obviously. And I brought my 40D with the 30mm lens, no flash, just the pop up. I said, I don't even care. Like, I get what I get.
Right.
You know, and my son was wearing a Spider-Man costume, which was awesome because he actually has a Spider-Man sweatshirt that he wore over top to stay warm, and it blended right in. It was perfect.
Wow.
But so I took a couple of – I needed the flash. So I used to use the pop-up flash, you know, at like an F1.6 or something like that. and just fired a bunch off. Now, it's just that awful little pop-up flash illuminating everything and just terrible. But it was my son trick-or-treating, so it was, for me, I didn't really care.
Yeah.
You know? Really enjoyed it. So, there you go. We're basically telling people, no point listening to our show. Just go ahead, get yourself a crappy camera, move on with your life.
Yeah, take better photos or don't. Take worse photos.
It's on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you doing?
I think we've come full circle on that.
No, I still like taking good photos. Okay. With that, the photo challenge this week was fall colors. We tried it earlier in the year when it wasn't fall colors yet. That was stupid.
Right.
So with that, let's have a look at mine. I think this is fall colors.
I would agree with you. This is definitely fall colors.
Okay. The end.
Yeah. He's on the slide.
Or is it the end?
Maybe not.
No, it's not the end. Yeah, we took the kids to the playground this one day, and I just thought, wow, like the light was fantastic. The colors were amazing. And so I just sat and waited. Like, this was kind of me in a photo trap waiting for my son to go down the slide.
Okay.
And he knew it too. And so we had a little battle of wills going on. Like, okay, I'm not going to do it, Daddy. Forget it. You know, who do you think you are to boss me?
Right.
And so he went and played in the swings for a good 45 minutes just to spite me.
Next to a garbage can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with graffiti on it. Like, yeah. Come on, who graffitis a garbage can? But anyways, no, so I waited and fired and... This is what I got. This is the shot that I wanted, and he came down, nice smiling face. However, and it's funny that we talked about it earlier. We talked about cranking the ISO on the 70-200 lens in the hockey arena,
right?
And getting motion blur at this size at 800 pixels. This picture looks pretty good. If you have a closer look, especially at his right foot. And yeah. then at his hand and his face, you'll notice it's a little bit blurry.
Yeah.
It's not blurry, it's motion blur.
Yeah. But you don't see it that far away. In your original image, you don't see it from further away. But yeah, definitely in the crop, his hand, his foot, yeah. His right, even his face a bit.
So yeah, so I included a 100% crop of him so you can see exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was kind of sour because I really, really like this photo. Mm-hmm. And to get him to do this, the smile, to see his face, the smile on his face and all that, I don't even mind the ugly metal fence in the background. Like, it blends in enough that...
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
No, at that thing. But so here's what I had done. We'd left the house. We'd taken the kids to the playground. I brought the 5D Classic with me and the 70-200, thinking, that's perfect. Perfect setup. Well, with the 5D Classic, what's the kind of high end of ISO that you pretty much go to?
I think in the hockey rink, I can push it as far as 8,000.
No. Your 5D Classic.
Oh, the 5D Classic. Oh, not very high. Usually I don't get over 1,000. So 800, I don't like to go to 1,000, but I will on occasion.
So like 640 is my top out.
Yeah.
Above that, which is the next one, of course, being 800, not a fan. Not a fan of what happens with the noise. Even in Lightroom, when you can go to fix it, don't like it. So 640 is my ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, you know, this is after daylight savings. The because we have it early here, you don't have it yet. Later in the evening, it's great. Magic hour happens really early, but the light can get away on you pretty quickly. And it did here. And so this was shot at an ISO 640 at an F4, because we discussed, we both have the F4 version of this lens, which unfortunately gave us a shutter speed. I want to say it was around 1/160th of a second.
Okay.
Maybe, nope, that's not true. 1/125th of a second. Not enough to stop the sliding action like you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
So... in my opinion, this shutter speed is too fast and too slow. If you had it even slower and he was really blurry, that might be something that you would, you know, okay, great, you're trying to make a blurred image. Wouldn't be my choice. And you would get a lot of motion blur in the camera, like moving the, with you know, at 200 mils, which this is shot at 200 mils on that lens. you'd get a lot of in-camera shake, and it would just ruin the picture.
Right.
So ideally, you would shoot this at somewhere in the neighborhood of 1/500th of a second to stop and make a nice, crisp image.
Right.
Which you can't do. I mean, I could do it earlier in the day. I could, you know, I could shoot at an f/2.8, which I can't do with this lens. Or even if I double the ISO to 1250 and then one click higher to 1600, which is the absolute max that you can go with that camera,
yeah,
you're still only going to get maybe 1/320th of a second. Not enough to stop this action.
Right.
So, and this is a situation where I probably could have used the 100mm f/2.
Yeah, for sure.
In that case, we would have got a slightly different photo, but would have been better, would have stopped it. So for me, that was the only thing that I did not like about this photo. Everything else, I like the way the tree on the left frames it, the way the playground on the right frames the image. The colors are fantastic. Like this says Central Park in Manhattan on, you know, in some Woody Allen movie or something.
Sure.
That, did I have to pick Woody Allen?
Yeah.
I couldn't have picked something else?
You could have.
All right, Mel Gibson. But anyways, that's what I was going for, but obviously kind of missed. Now, went back 2 days later, took the kids back, and thought, I'm going to fix this mistake. Kid would not look at me. So getting his face in the picture the second time was not an option.
Right.
So he just looked away, and so I kind of took one of him climbing up the slide as he likes to do, but it's just not even close to being as good a picture. And someone else had parked their bike in the background. Like it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
Do better next time. Okay. That's the takeaway.
All right.
All right. Let's have a look at your photo.
Okay, so my photo is the one where he's throwing the leaves. He's about to throw the leaves. It's got some motion blur in his hands. The leaves are just starting to go up. He's got that really excited look on his face. That's the photo.
I like it. Now, on my monitor, and this could be 100% my monitor, you tell me if it's different on yours, his skin tones look a little cool.
Yeah, but this was first thing this morning, and it was dark, and so that, again, I could artificially really, really warm this. I already warmed it to that.
Okay.
But that's just what the light was this morning. So I left it cool.
Which camera did you shoot with?
This is the 5D Classic.
And you probably shot with it on a daylight white balance?
Just an auto white balance.
Auto? Ooh.
Yeah. So okay. the image was very, very blue.
Okay.
And so I warmed it up to make it this, and then I thought, in my eye anyways, this is more a rendition of what it was, and I thought, well, how much do I warm this to the point where this isn't the image at all? I could make it look like the colors of yours,
mm-hmm.
but I just opted to leave it. Plus, I did this 2 minutes before we podcasted, so
right.
I was only gonna tinker so much. But basically, what I liked about it was this is not the photo I typically take. The leaf photo I typically take is completely stop motion, so really high shutter speed. Not done at this time of day, obviously, because this was before school and it was just too dark. I needed another 20 minutes for the sun to come up where we would have had better light to stop motion, kind of like what you were saying. But I liked it because I have enough like sharpness on his face mixed with the motion blur and the action that's why I chose this one. And then I do have the standard photo that I seem to take every year, which is the leaves in full throw, half of them obscuring the child's face, but enough to see the eyes and the face and who it is. So that photo is taken a moment later. So I did include both photos.
That's a much lesser photo, though.
Yeah, I like this one. I like this one.
The first one.
Which one?
I like the first one you spoke of where he's about to throw the leaves.
Yes, no, me too.
The other one, we got the background is
yeah, it's not the same. Yeah, yeah,
no.
And I agree. I like this photo better. This is directly out in front of my house, so I didn't look for a scenic spot like you did. This was on our way to the vehicle to drive the kids to school.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and so definitely like the first one. One better. I think you could have warmed it up. I mean, I'm going to guess. I don't know what the auto. I'd never use auto white balance, especially on the 5D Classic. I'd never have. So I don't know what it would choose, but let's
say it was pretty cool. This is up to over 6,000 though. This is like
really?
This is like almost 6,200.
I was going to suggest that you might want to go as high as 6,400, but yeah, I didn't realize it was that high already.
It's pretty high, and then I thought, okay, well now I'm just basically painting a picture.
No, that's not true. That's not fair.
At a point, if I crank it that much, I think that. I'm torn between what do I want it to be and what it actually is, and I was fine with what it actually is.
I mean, but if you were to set your white balance to the shade setting, that's probably going to come in at around 62 to 6400.
Yeah, I think that camera is I don't think it's 64. That sounds too high for the shade setting.
There's also other, you know, there's also the other slider, the magenta green that, you know, so who knows where it comes in. It's not just a linear thing. It comes in around there, let's call it. And basically, like, I think the basic numbers are like cloudy day will be 5,500, shade will be 6,000, but the mileage will vary on depending on which camera. But there's nothing wrong with that. You're shooting in essentially shady conditions. And so then to make that, I mean, you can go either way. If you want an accurate representation of that morning light, like your other photo. Now, see, your other photo, had you warmed that other photo up, the one with the baseball?
Yeah, I warmed that one up too.
Yeah, but had you warmed it up, it would look terrible.
Yeah.
Like as it is, I can tell it's a little bit warm, but that's right. It's reasonable, completely reasonable. But this, like, I know you said you didn't like this. This was a placeholder, but to me, this is Vancouver in November. Like, this is the light. Like, this represents to me what it was like growing up in Vancouver in the fall.
Right.
And so I kind of have some nostalgia for this photo, you know? Especially everything that he's wearing, everything. Like, you know, sweatpants, sweatshirt, instead of the big bulky jacket or whatever it is. This, to me, says everything. And by not warming it up, or over-warming it up, it's a lot more true to what's really going on.
I just, I agree with you. I agree with everything you just said. I completely lied. I edited the wrong picture and copied the settings over. So that picture was actually only at 5,700, the color temperature. The one that we're looking at. And I just did it on my monitor at 6,200 and it looks much better. And the other ones in that little, there's like a three shot little mix. The other ones were all at 6,200 and now looking at it, they're better. And the one that I actually put in there is slightly overexposed. It looks better with a little less exposure as well. So that's part of it.
Put the updated one in. I'll post them both and people can hear what we're talking about.
Yeah, I will send you it at 6,244. That's what I just did it, and I basically brought the exposure down a bit. This part of it is doing this too quickly, so I apologize to our listeners.
It's a good lesson, man.
Yeah.
It's a good takeaway. All right. Okay. Topic this week is Christmas cards. It's getting to be that time.
Yes, it is.
That we do them. Now, I historically have been surprisingly lax at doing Christmas cards. I don't know why, if I just don't have time. This is typically a busy time of year for me for a bunch of things, but it's not really a good excuse, I don't think. So I'm bad at Christmas cards. Always have been. Adam is very good at it, I think.
Okay,
you've done them for a long time.
I have, yeah.
And who's responsible for making that happen, like getting it done? Is it your wife who says,
no,
all right, we have to get it done?
All me.
I disagree. Is that true?
100% me. Yeah, absolutely.
Timing. Like, when do you? Okay. Well. First of all, do we need Christmas cards anymore? Like in the old days, you know, when you had rotary telephones and that was it, Christmas cards were nice. You'd get them, and you know, you see the people you haven't seen in a long time. You know, Aunt Connie from Toronto.
Right.
And you'd see the family photo and that. But now that we have the Facebook and all that, do we need them?
I like them. I like hard copy. I like the tradition of it. We get many from friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to also return the favor. It is. It's just one of those fun things that I like to send them out. Well, actually, to be honest, I do them. I print them. My wife sends them out. She handles the sending them out. I ask her, how many do we need? She mails them to all the friends. So we each have our job. I am the creator. She is the sender.
Right. Okay. You're the producer. She's the distributor.
Sure. I definitely feel as though they are still something that are appreciated. I enjoy making them. They're a good keepsake for me personally. We always print a couple to throw in a scrapbook or in the kids' kind of memory books and whatnot.
Now, that was a rhetorical question I was asking because I feel the same way. I actually like getting them, stringing them up, you know, whatever you want to do on the mantle. It's kind of a nice little decoration. It's different every year.
Yep.
So I do. I really do like them. But here's the thing. For the most part, I guess you still get some, but they used to be 100% store-bought, like just kind of some crappy Hallmark thing with a snowy Christmas tree on the cover.
Right.
And then something. And then people would, put a photo inside. Oh, here's the kids' school photos.
Right.
You know, the day they dressed up. And then the technology has come along that it's made it, I would say, very simple to customize your own Christmas cards.
Absolutely.
So what would you say, like, the bulk of the cards that you get, are they customized or are they store-bought?
I'd say it's still mostly store-bought.
Okay. Stop it, people.
Mostly like the Walmart version where you go in there and you have whatever photo on your disc and you just kind of slide it behind.
Oh, no, but that's customized, though.
It's 90% then of the customized version. Everyone seems to have their photo on their card, but most people do the one at the kiosk, right?
Totally fine. I take no issue with that.
No, neither do I. But I just thought that's what you were distinguishing between.
So when is it, say, you want to get your Christmas cards out. When do you start thinking about them? When do you start thinking that, hey, I'm going to snap the Christmas card photo?
I start thinking about it the second that I can get my kids to agree to taking a photo. So I plant the seed early. I plant the seed probably October.
Okay.
So early October, we're talking well before Halloween, early October, I start planting the seed of, hey, we should get the pajamas out. Because the kids every year, the move is my wife usually buys them Christmas pajamas each year. This is sort of a family tradition. Usually she gets those pajamas sometime in early October. The kids are very excited about the Christmas PJs. They want to wear them. My wife tries to hold them off.
Oh, okay. So they don't get them for Christmas? They get them to wear?
No, they get them to wear around Christmas time. Okay. And so they're very excited about the Christmas PJs. And I say, well, you know, one way to get a chance to try on the Christmas PJs is to take part in a little photo shoot, and that's usually how we get them to do it. Mm-hmm. So when they're agreeable, once the pajamas come, so we'll say sometime in mid-October, they are usually anxious to try them, in which case the photo shoot ensues.
See, our move here with the pajamas is the kids get pajamas every year for Christmas, but on December the 6th, on Nikolaus Tag, when Nicholas comes to the front door.
Right, okay.
That's too late. That's too late for Christmas cards.
Right, yeah. So you got to give them early, man.
You got to get them out earlier than that, unfortunately. But that's the thing. Is now you want to, let's say you want to take a nice Christmas-themed photo. You have to take it early enough to get it out by Christmas. But you don't want everyone, sitting around in lawn chairs and sipping Mai Tais.
No.
That's not very Christmassy unless you're going to Maui.
Right.
And we're not.
Right.
Unfortunately. So, that's also kind of the dance that you do. So when you're thinking about this, like you do something, you do the same thing every year?
Not exactly, but I did a very similar thing. I haven't made the card yet. I took the photos.
Okay.
And I haven't put it together as a
card. Is this family or just the kids?
This is just the kids. I always do just the kids. I can't remember ever doing myself or my wife on the Christmas card.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody needs to see us on the Christmas card. That's my thought anyways.
Sure.
The kids are cuter, so we're going to put that on as our Christmas card. So it's generally both of them together. Last year I did sort of like a film strip kind of thing with a few shots. I really liked that. So I did a bunch of shots this year. I haven't exactly in my brain configured it, but I have an idea. I'm going to probably do something relatively similar with a number of shots just because I like it. I like the idea of kind of the different faces and looks and laughs and stuff. So just I shoot it on a neutral background. I did it last year. I'll do it again this year. But then I'll encompass those photos onto a Christmassy sort of background.
So you'll green screen it?
No, I won't green screen it, but I'll just some sort of, I don't know, holiday backdrop with the photo strip on top of that.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
See, I personally like something amusing, but my wife does not.
Okay.
She kind of wants more of a classic portrait. Not a classic portrait necessarily, but kind of what you're talking about. Sort of your more straight up, you know, well-lit photo of the kids. Nothing too hilarious. I want to do something this year and have fun with it. And
okay. You're looking for a laugh.
A little something. You know, a little something different. A little something to say, hey. Like, kind of, yeah. Just lighten the mood a little bit. Okay. It's Christmas. You don't really have to lighten Christmas, do you? No, you don't.
No.
But I had an idea and thought, oh, yeah, we could do something like that. And she put the she threw cold water on that rapidly, so that's not going to happen. So we'll do some sort of a classic portrait, I'm sure. Whether we're included in it, I don't know. Maybe it's just the kids. I appreciate your idea of having just the kids, less clutter in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, don't meet us in there.
Yeah, most of the people I'm sending the photo to have a decent idea of what I look like, and that's good enough.
Okay, so when you say you have a Christmassy background, like what are you talking, like poinsettias?
It's always different. Every year I try to do something different, so it could be holly, and it could be a snowman, and it could be stockings or whatever, little Santas, just something to kind of border and highlight the fact that this is truly a Christmas-themed card, because otherwise it's just a photo shoot of the kids in Christmassy pajamas, mm-hmm. which until you kind of, you know, look at them, you might really not know exactly what it is at first. Mm-hmm. So, hey, Adam decided to show us a photo strip of his kids. Awesome. So that's why I do like to make sure that it's obvious to my audience that it is a Christmas card, and then some kind of little Christmassy saying something on there, and that's it.
And where do you get them printed?
Usually it's been Costco. Costco. Mm-hmm. This year I might go Vistaprint. Vistaprint is pretty awesome when it comes to printing good quality at a reasonable price and Christmas cards. I did a photo shoot for a friend of my wife's last year, and she showed me the finished product that she'd gotten hard kind of cards printed from Vistaprint. And they were fabulous, like the stock and the quality and the price.
Okay. Listen.
They're not a sponsor. Stop.
No,
not
but
a
sponsor. That's the thing. I'm. You make me. I want to get in touch with them now and tell them to sponsor our show.
Okay, because you're happy with them too, right?
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, I printed
both T-shirts for Disneyland, which people see in the photos. I printed both of those via Vistaprint, and great. They turned out great.
So. I've had calendars printed that I basically had them printed in Canada from Germany, and I have never seen them. I just had them delivered to my family in Canada, and they loved them. So in that respect, I'm happy with their work. I've never actually seen it in person.
Oh, I have the Vistaprint calendar in our bathroom, and it's awesome. It turned out, and it almost free. I want to say $7 or $8 a calendar.
Yes.
Just crazy good quality for the price.
Okay. Listen, stop.
But the Costco option has been my go-to the last few years.
No,
and
forget them. They're not going to sponsor us.
But they're free too. Sometimes, again, Costco, 90% of the time, I'm really happy with the prints, and sometimes I find they're a little too dark. Like it's almost like they apply like a dark contrast adjustment to it sometimes. Mm-hmm. That just I don't like at all. And unfortunately, if you're going to print 40, 50, 60 cards and you don't like one, well, now you don't like 50 of them, and you start all over again. So.
But I will counter by saying, have you ever tried to buy 7 liters of salsa at Vistaprint?
That's true. I have not. Yeah, I have
no.
not.
So just temper it, all right?
Okay.
All right. Now that's, I'm going to look into that, too. I'm going to get in contact with them, too. Because unbeknownst to you, I don't tell you all these things, we've had a bunch of sort of, not sponsors directly getting in touch with us, but sort of sponsors options, which none of which I've liked very much.
Gotcha.
Get in touch with us about sponsoring the show. So I don't really want to do that. I don't want to just sponsor anything.
Yang Nuo.
Yeah, no, they don't need us. But
Vistaprint.
No, the other stuff. I barely look at them, but because they're not related and they're not products, right. Whatever. I'm not interested in doing that. But if it's a product like Vistaprint that we both like,
and they have an American site, they have a Canadian site. Yeah. I don't know if they have a European site.
I'm getting in touch. No, I don't believe they do, but I will get in touch with them.
But our listeners, regardless of whether
do it anyways,
they just like I say, I am all on good quality, good bang for your buck. I have yet to have a single product, and I've ordered many things now. I've had about 8 different products from Vistaprint. Still have not had anything that I was thoroughly happy with. So
what I'm saying is, if I can get in touch and get a discount for our listeners and they're with being a sponsor,
that'd be gorgeous.
I will try to do that. Although you can't any more of a discount, and they're going to pay you.
That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you put when you put on the front? You put like say Merry Christmas from. What do you put?
The Schwartz family.
Why do you put the Schwartz family? And I asked for a very good reason.
You want to dig into this, don't you? My wife still brings this up because you didn't like the mistake.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
You had to bring out a mistake I made several years ago about the pluralization of the last name Schwartz. I think I did an apostrophe S, and you said, hang on a second.
It said, I wasn't livid. I was secretly happy.
Okay.
Because, and this isn't really on you. This is on 3 other people that should have caught this. Now, it said Merry Christmas from the Schwartzes. Okay. Now, in all fairness to you, pluralizing Schwartz isn't an easy thing to do.
Right. I don't think it had ever come up in my 37 years of life.
I've never been to a party with Adam and Sherwood Schwartz and said, oh, yeah, over there by the Schwartzes.
But even if you did, it wouldn't matter because that would be fine. It's how you spell it.
Correct. Now, right. So you would put that. You'd put, Merry Christmas from the Schwartzes, and it was apostrophe S. Now, if you still have that photo, I'd love it if you could send that over.
You'd have to tell me what's on it. I might be able to find it if I had an idea of exactly.
I have no clue. I know there's an apostrophe on it. That's all I know.
Okay, I'll look for it. Even now, if not, you can make a new one.
Here's the part. Now, it was 8. Well, no, I wouldn't do that. But 8. So here's where I'm – well, some might call me a jerk, but
– Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. You're a jerk.
No, you have not repeated the mistake, though.
No, but not because of this. You're just a jerk.
Oh, yeah. But this one was very helpful. So you handed it to me at your house. I was home for a job, came to your house. You handed me the card. What was it? Half a heartbeat? And I said, oh, hey, look at that. Because that's what I do. And sure enough, pointed it out. But here's why I felt the need to point it out. What does your wife do for a living?
She's a teacher.
What does her sister do for a living?
Teacher.
Her husband?
Teacher.
Wow. So 3 teachers right there, and no one caught that. And then I think we had a discussion after online, and your brother-in-law and sister-in-law still weren't sure that it wasn't right.
Yeah. I have to say that if you spell Schwartz's, because my last name ends in a Z, or Z for the American listeners. If you pluralize it with an ES, it just looks wrong. Like, it just looks wrong.
Yes.
And so that's the part is I can't think of, Z or Z words that you pluralize with an ES on the end that ever come up. So it just, in your brain, it just looks wrong. And believe me, before we made that card, we deliberated back and forth of how do you pluralize it, and it just made sense to us that it was apostrophe S, mm-hmm. because ES looks wrong. And so even after you said that, and I looked at it, that's why I never put Schwartz's on anything, because I think most people would think I've made a mistake by putting ES. That's why I haven't changed
it. You're not wrong.
I just put the Schwartz family, because now I don't need people trying to correct me when they would actually be wrong. It's just one of those weird English language rules that seems to not make sense.
If you'd put house at the end from the Schwartz's house, bam, you're good.
Yeah.
Because now it's possessive. Now that is your house.
Right.
So then you're all good. But you wouldn't do that. You would just do it from the Schwartz house, ironically. That's just how you would do it.
Right. Yeah.
I would see. I would keep doing it. I think I even did one year. I did it with the Attridges. I think I put the apostrophe S at the end just to be to further jerkify the situation.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Which your wife got a kick out of and then tore it up and burned it.
Right.
As she is well within her rights to do.
I appreciate you bringing this to light for everyone on a photography podcast. I'm sure they're riveted with this information and how they're going to apply it to their upcoming Christmas cards.
Well, if you say, hey, yeah, you know, yeah, you're wrong, Y-O-U-R, then, you know, I'll take issue.
Okay.
Take issue with that. All right. That means next week's challenge is going to be Christmas cards, just in time.
Great.
For to get them printed at wherever you get them printed at. Websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
They can find it at adamschwartz.ca, and they will likely be able to find some Disneyland photos soon at the Two Hosers Facebook. And I guess I'll have you – you'll post some of those pictures on our website as well, right?
I'll post a couple of them, but look for the bulk of them at –
at the Facebook site.
On the Facebooks. Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to put like 23 photos on the Facebook site. So.
Okay, yeah, I'll post 3 photos.
Okay, great.
Just to let people know that you were there.
Okay.
You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links, photos, everything we just talked about. Apostrophes, we have apostrophes on there.
Yeah, tons of them.
That's how we're spelling the two hosers now.
Hosers is...
Hosers with a Z.
Yeah.
Just to make it simple. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.